Thank God. If you want to turn to, excuse me, Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says there, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And there is a time for everything in our life. The seasons of our life, you know, are constantly changing. We go from one to another, just like all these natural areas that Solomon mentioned here. You know, a time to sow, a time to reap. There's a cycle of life that keeps going. And, you know, we see new babies born. We see people, loved ones, leave us in the earth. But there are seasons throughout our life that if we're not aware of what God has us doing for a certain season, we can miss the purpose and the benefit of that season. We can despise certain times in our lives and not count them as something to be valued. All our life is to be valued. We don't have very much time here at all. We know that. You know, our life is but a mist. It goes so quickly, and we things just change. But there's times in our life that are different, and that we have to cherish the season that we're in. We have to look at it as valuable and get what God has out of that time, because if we do that, we'll be prepared for the next season. You know, it's like if a child's in first grade. Children usually aren't like this; they don't have an understanding. But if you were to think that this is useless, what I'm learning here, I want to get on to the big stuff. This doesn't mean anything. I don't want to just learn my letters and numbers and learn some sight words, or you know, learn a few things. I want to get on to bigger and better things. I want to read novels. I want to read chapter books. I want to be writing books. I want to be doing, you know, physics and engineering. To heck with this stuff. Why am I here? And, you know, in this recess, what is that about? I don't want to go out and play. I don't want to just play with my friends. I don't want to sit here in this classroom and listen to this teacher. Man, I want to get out and do something with my life. I want to get out. I want to go work, or I want to get married, or I want to have children. Most first graders don't think like that. But if they don't do what they're supposed to do in first grade, they're not going to be prepared when they get to second grade, let alone, you know, high school or college. Or no first grader is prepared to be married or to have children. They're children themselves. But it seems obvious when we look at it like that. But in our own lives, we're in certain places. We don't understand everything. None of us do. We see as through a glass darkly. We don't see everything. We don't understand everything, why we're where we're at. But if we just be diligent, set our hand to the plow, set our hand to what is before us, be diligent, be faithful, go forward with what God has given us, then He is faithful to move us on to the next season and the next season, and we'll be prepared. We can't look at the time in our life and know why we're there and everything that really the significance of it. None of us, because really significance, true significance, it spans lifetimes, multiple lifetimes. I mean, what we do affects our children and our children's children and our children's children's children, and people where we are today as a result of our ancestors. Their significance, what they did in life or didn't do, is affecting us right now. they may have not seen it. They may have thought it was drudgery to do certain things, or it wasn't worth doing others. But regardless of the decisions they made, they're affecting us today. And it's tempting to think, you know, Jesus won't come back. He may, or he will come back soon. So, you know, that's not going to be us. We're not going to go to the grave, and there's not going to be, you know, our children's 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 children, because it's going to end. It may, but it may not. We don't really know. Things are lining up like that, but we don't know. We don't know. We have to live as if, you know, that we're going to live our life out. We have to plan that way. And if we do, we'll go to the next, we'll be satisfied. But it is so tempting in certain, I think in certain times, just to not be diligent, not to be, not even not to be diligent, just not to appreciate where we're at. But when we look at things from an eternal perspective, it makes it, you know, easier to do that. Let's turn to Ephesians 5, 8. We'll read a few verses there. Ephesians 5, 8 says this: "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.' See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God." But verses 15 and 16 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." I want to read that in a couple other translations. In the NIV, it says this: "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, making the most, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And in the Amplified, it's even more straight: "Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil." Live life to the fullest where we're at. That's a challenge. I mean, you and I know it. There's times where we can fly high, and it's easy, it feels like. But there are times when we don't see everything yet. It's like stair steps sometimes. You go through and, you know, you get to where you're kind of on a level, and then suddenly you get jerked up to another level. And when you're going through that, you don't know what's going on necessarily until stuff levels out and you start to see where everything is and get used to that. But when you become, when you come to the end of a level sometimes, it gets to the where, you know, you don't, you maybe are just a little unsettled, or you just don't know quite where things are fitting. Why is this still going on? Until something changes and you move to the next thing, and then you just, everything is new, but that can be a jarring effect. And then you start to settle out to where you're used to where you're at. And it seems like it continually does that through life, continually does that as we go from one level to another. But if we can learn just throughout whatever level we're at, wherever we're at, just to live, like it says, wise, not as the people that are unwise, not wasting our time, not frittering away as if it's dispensable. That's our most valuable possession or commodity, is our time. If we had limitless time, we could have limitless money. No matter, if we had limitless time, it wouldn't matter how much you made an hour, you could still have limitless money. Doesn't matter if you made a dollar an hour. If you had infinite time, you could just set aside, you know, what, 1 million hours a week. You can make $1 million a week, right? And still have $1 million more to do whatever you want. It's our most precious commodity, yet sometimes we treat it, we'll waste it, and not look at where we are and look around and see that we can be putting our hand to something, to live to the full. Today, that we can live life to the full. We can seize every opportunity, like it says there in the Amplified, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. The days are short. The days are moving on. Our opportunity that we have today won't be the same as tomorrow. And there's opportunity all around us. Right now, anybody in here could be a millionaire, you know, after not too many years if we knew exactly what to do today. If we knew exactly what to buy today. I mean, we could probably do that within a matter. If we knew exactly the exact things to buy and sell, just, you know, completely as the markets were going, you could be a very wealthy person in a very short time. There's opportunity everywhere around us, but we just have to seize it. We don't want to let it go by and then wish we would have done something different. You know, Joseph, he's a classic example. The man was, I really like that story because it's not just a story, but a man's life that Joseph was diligent, amazingly, through a lot of hardship. I mean, there are people that have done the same thing in different areas. But he evidently, I don't think he was probably perfect. He was a human being. A lot of time that he could have wondered what the heck was going on. But there were times, evidently, overall, he was faithful to God and kept his eyes focused on where God was bringing him and on God's faithfulness. And we know the end of where he ended up, you know, being ruler over Egypt. Save the Pharaoh. But it doesn't have to be to that magnitude in our own life just to be faithful and diligent where we're at. We don't know how God's going to use today and what we're learning today and the relationships we have today, how he's going to use those in the future. And we really don't know the real significance of our life. Like I was alluding to earlier, it says in a different place in Ecclesiastes that no man can really understand his whole life. It's beyond him because it spans multiple lives. Right now, we could be doing something and we don't understand exactly why, but it is because something happened in the past, or it's because of something that's going to happen in the future. And only with God's perspective could we perfectly understand it. We may never. There's certain things that we can get to the end of a phase and wonder, but God knows, and that's where faith comes in. Not as, we don't want to act as people that don't have God and have a perspective of people that don't have God. We have to look at God's faithfulness and first look to his leading and his guidance, make sure that we're doing what he has asked us to do, because, you know, he's going to tell us what we need to be doing. And if we know that he'll lead us and guide us through our spirit and we've made sure that we're in the right place, at that point, it becomes just doing what he has asked us to do and being faithful and letting the significance or insignificance or the lessons that we're going to learn just to him, just to be diligent and faithful regardless. And the one thing we have to do is check to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. At that point, everything kind of follows. Well, if I'm supposed to be here, then we can have the attitude just like Joseph that I'm going to be diligent here. Oh, I'm in prison. Now, I may have made mistakes to get into prison. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't. We could talk to God. Why did I get here? Like Joseph was in prison. I'm sure he had conversations with God. I mean, he was sold into slavery, and then he was in prison. He's probably asking, what the heck did I do to deserve this? How did I get here? But after we've asked those questions, maybe learned some lessons, at that point, God is still faithful, even if our mistakes got us to where we are, whatever reason. At that point, once we've gone through some of that and made sure, well, what else could I do now? Am I sure in the prison you don't have much choice? But where we are, we can just make sure, am I where I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing? At that point, then all these other lessons and all these other commands come into play. Okay, then I'm to be diligent, I'm to be faithful, I'm to live a good life, I'm going to trust God, I'm going to do what He has told me to do in His Word, and then let Him take care of the rest. And that's where we differ from the world. We have to look to God and trust Him that He knows where we're going, and that all these pieces of the puzzle all over the world, all these different people's lives, and all the people's lives from before, and all the people's lives coming after, nobody can put that puzzle together except God. Nobody can comprehend it. No single person has that knowledge. Only Him. Only He can look at it and say, now if we've come to Him and asked Him, what are we going to do here? What should I do? What is my role? Okay, He's telling us this little tiny piece of that puzzle. He knows the rest of them. He's like the ultimate coach. You know, if a coach is designing a play, he is telling each position what you need to do, what you need to do. Now, it's good if obviously, to different levels of sports, you know, as the higher you go, the more people understand how what they're doing fits into the role of the whole team. And that's good because then they have more understanding. But a beginning player doesn't. You do this. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You do this. Well, we may think we're far along, in life, but the fact is we're nowhere near God's understanding of the world. Nobody is. So when He tells us, you do this, you don't worry about everybody else around you. Don't worry about what's going on. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Don't worry about what they're doing. You look at what you're supposed to be doing in the season that you're supposed to be doing it, and get your commands from me and do it, and just do it diligently and leave the rest to me. If we'll do that, then we'll be successful in life. Because if we've gone to Him and asked God what we're supposed to do, and then we just be faithful to carry that out, what else is there really? You know, the world can tell you success is one thing, doing this or doing that. If it's not what God has told us to do, it's meaningless. It doesn't matter if it looks successful. Billy Graham said, you know, he's had all this success, but he said, one of my biggest, I can't remember exactly how he put it, but, you know, he's had all this success, but his biggest fear would be that he was supposed to be a plumber and he messed up and ended up doing all this other stuff and he missed it. That will blow some people's minds away. How could you possibly think you could not have done what God called you to do with all these people that got blessed under your ministry? It doesn't matter. If we're not doing what God has called us to do, we are wrong at that point. It doesn't matter what the world has said one way or another. So when we are sure that what we're doing is what God has for us in whatever season it is, we're a success right there. And we go on and enjoy that. Then whatever the next season holds in our life, we're ready for it. We're prepared. We can look and say, God, I've done what you have told me, and we can be at peace. And we can enjoy life. And through these different seasons, which come, some of them are hard. You know, nobody likes to bury a loved one, but, you know, we love to see new babies. There is a time to plant certain things in our lives. There is a time to reap certain things in our lives. There is a time where maybe it feels like we are just sowing things into our lives or into areas of our lives or into our career or our relationships or whatever. But the world is made up that everything works that way. Nothing usually happens like this. Some things do. Some things are instantaneous. But a lot of things of value take time. And so that's why sometimes we're in a season of sowing. And it's not like the seasons are just all engulfing, like, well, you're in sowing season now and then you're in reaping season. I mean, they overlap. You may be in a sowing season in one area and a reaping season in another. But if we're just following Him, we're being led by Him, then He'll make sure that we're sowing when we need to be sowing and reaping when we need to be reaping and doing whatever we're supposed to be doing. But there are times when it feels like we're just doing something that doesn't seem too exciting, but we're sowing. And things are coming up. If we're sowing the Word into our lives, if we're sowing into our career, if we're sowing into a relationship, but by and by, the crop comes up one way or another in our lives. One way or another, whatever we've planted comes up. 2 years from now, we're going to be possibly reaping things that we are sowing this very day. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, that what we're sowing, when we think, oh, if we're tempted to think it's not significant, we're planting something. And we want to make sure what we're planting today in this season is what we want to reap in the future season. Time is on our side, though. Time is on our side. That there is something about going on through seasons of life. You know, they call somebody that's been around, they're seasoned. They've been through some things. You know, you've been through the fire. Getting on, having years added to our lives means we've seen more seasons, means we've seen cycles. Maybe we're not duped like we used to be. And there's something about experience that is, we'll just be diligent where we are. We go through and we get that experience added to us, and time is an asset. The world looks at it sometimes so much, we've glorified youth and intelligence and power, that there is something about somebody that has had experience. We may not have, you know, in our later years, all the physical attributes that we did in our younger years, but we have wisdom. We have experience. And that all together brings us, God can use that. God can use that to influence people around us in our lives, our career, whatever. But it's an asset. It's an asset to gain years. There's nothing wrong with going on. We're all going to do it. We all go down. One day we're going to step off into eternity and go on to be with God. But there's no sense in wishing we were somewhere where we're not. There's no sense in wishing we were reaping when we're sowing. The farmer may wish the crop is going to come up. You know, he wishes he was sowing, but the fact is, right around the corner, there's more. Or he wishes he was reaping. The fact is, right around the corner, there's more sowing. There's no use in thinking, you know, wishing it were day when it's night, and night when it's day. If we'll just walk in the season we're in the, whether it's that small or large, we'll be satisfied. We'll be fulfilled. We'll follow the plan of God. We won't be tossed to and fro by circumstance, by emotions, by what's going on around us, because we'll be centered up, knowing we're doing what God has told us, and He'll show us when things are going to change. He'll show us what to do in the next stage. Let's turn to Matthew 6:25. You know, I've said this often, but I know nothing I'm saying today is new or earth-shattering, but there's this things that no matter where we're at in life, we just have to go back and stir ourselves up and remember and look to God's Word. I mean, if we read God's Word once and we thought that's all we could get out of it and just set it aside and said, well, I've read that book, we'd be missing a lot. God's Word continually nourishes us and strengthens us, and we just keep stirring up what's inside of us. And Matthew 6:25, it says this, therefore, this is Jesus, of course, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I wanted to specifically focus on the last couple verses. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, which is what we're saying. Go to God and ask him what you're supposed to do. Go to the word and see what it says about how we're supposed to live our life. Seek for first him. And at that point, live your life. And like verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Sufficient for the season you're in, there's enough for you to worry about. There's enough. Go to God, find out what you're supposed to be doing, live life, find out in any given situation, what are his promises, what has he said about our situation, how are we supposed to act, what are we supposed to be doing, and at that point, don't worry about the future, don't look to the future, don't fret about the future, don't worry about how things are going to turn out, don't worry about how things are going to be 5 years from now. If we will just look to God and do what he has told us to do, either personally or through the word of God, then we just take it day by day, look to him, and we'll get to where we're supposed to be 1 inch at a time. Our journey of life, that if we worry about where we're going to be, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years from now, it doesn't make any sense what Jesus is saying. Just take it a day at a time. Do what I'm telling you to do. We may have plans for the future, like we have a one-year plan to, you know, financially or whatever. But the fact is, that's fine to look forward, but you still then have to get back to what does it take to accomplish that plan today? What am I going to do today? It doesn't mean that we don't look forward at all, but we don't get out ahead of ourselves, because half the time, I'd say a lot more than half the time, most of the time, we have plans, but they change. We have a framework, but it changes, because life does not happen exactly as we think it should or expect it to. So we have plans, and then we look to God. No matter what happens, no matter if our plans go exactly as planned or things are kinks are thrown into them, God is still God. He knew they were coming. See, that's the awesome thing. In just natural thinking, you know, we're on our own. We plan, we do our best, and what happens if something changes? Well, now we have to come up with a different plan. The thing is, if we go to God and get his plans and implement what he has told us to do, then he's already factored in all the changes that we think are changes, when really it's just life unfolding. He's already factored it all in, so he's got it taken care of. Whereas in our own intellect, we don't see all those puzzle pieces coming together. We don't see everything happening. So we can miss some stuff, but he won't miss it. He won't miss it. He realizes where we're going, and so he'll make sure that everything we need for the future is taken care of where we're at, if we'll just look to him and trust him and not get anxious, not get in a hurry, not get ahead of ourselves, basically. Just look to him. We just look to him. I mean, it's constant. I mean, just how many times have we said look to him? That's because that's our life. That's what we're supposed to do. That, in a nutshell, if we just look to God, get his plans, get his word, and do it, that sums up pretty much life as a Christian. That's where, you know, that's what we're going to live out. We're just going to have a relationship with God. That's why we are created. I suppose heaven will be, you know, different but the same. We'll still have a relationship with him. We may look different. I don't know. May look a little different. May, you know, we'll have spiritual bodies, whatever. I don't know what we'll do for, I don't know. We don't know exactly what heaven holds, but our basic lesson is to have faith in him, trust him, in whatever season we're in, wherever we find ourselves, that God is faithful and he's good, and he's going to take care of us.